This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Now, the appropriate shoes can do a lot. Make a good first impression, increase your self-assurance, safeguard your feet, get you through muddy conditions, or even provide you with the extra edge you need to win a race. Dr. Lorraine Liu has been in the shoe business since 1987 and has received numerous accolades and prizes over the years for his outstanding designs, skilled craftsmanship, and capacity to push the shoe fashion industry to new heights. Even the Duchess of Cambridge, Her Royal Highness Kate Middleton, owns a pair. Good morning, Dato.
Good morning, Freda.
It's been a while since we last spoke on air, but of course, you know, I've been watching your career over the years, right? And one of the things that's very interesting is that 1987, you've been doing this since 1987.
Yes, okay. What a day to remember.
I know you've gone through a lot, but what got you interested in shoes way back in 1987?
In 87, it's a recession time of the 80s. A lot of people might not know, the younger generation in particular. Now, how I go into shoe building my own business before 87 was that 84, when I started joining a shoe company from a food, normally I was in actually food industry, from food to footwear, that's how actually my journey of footwear industry comes along. Yeah. I didn't know when I went to the shoe factory in Johor Bahru, I fell in love in the R&D particular area, that I found out that I love fashion so much. I love design in particular so much. And I didn't know I have the inborn talent in the fashion or shoe design in particular. Mm. Yeah, that's how I actually started in 87 later on, when a customer of mine invited me to be partner of the company.
Okay, so 1987, that was what started, but it took you 10 years later to start your own business. Why did you decide to do that?
No, I didn't start 10 years later on for my business. Only 3 years, I was in shoe industry in 84. And with the 3 years of experience in shoe, one of my customers invited me, let's join me to start a company.
Okay.
A trading company. This is how I actually started shoe industry in 1987.
Okay, 1987. Yes. But then you started the Luray brand.
Oh, that was way back 10 years later on.
Okay.
So from trading, I actually told my partner after 2 years of joining them, I started a company called Rundi Enterprise. Okay. That's why you see Luray, the R-E stand for Rundi Enterprise.
Okay.
It started from my name and the company.
Luray. I see. Okay. So then 1987, so the Luray brand came in 1997.
Yes, precisely.
But then every time you start something new, something exciting always happens.
Again, another really 90s economic downturn. Mm-hmm. After 10 years, that actually taught me a lot of things from that particular point. But Frida, you understand that time, the whole economy was so bad, but I was the happiest man at the time.
Why?
Because 80% of my business already in export. Just imagine when I started 87, it's only a trading company.
Right.
I evolved from a trading company and moved into the export.
Right.
Immediately, I changed to become OEM. OEM for many, many brands.
Okay.
Up to even 40 countries when I break through the global market after 1991, representing Malaysia in the largest exhibition in Germany. But the first 3 years was really horrendous. It's 3 years zero sales for 3 years. 91, 92, 93. And 19 companies represent Malaysia. I was the youngest and least successful. Okay. I don't even mention about successful at all. But I'm so happy because I could fly to Germany, Düsseldorf. Wow, that was my first trip, 1991, in the plane. And you know, as a young man, you know, those were the days in 1991. There's no internet, there's no smartphone. You have to really go there and see. And that was the time people talking about knowledge economy. Mm. So you have to know whatever you see, you know? Mm. Not like that, everything's Google, you know?
Right. Okay.
So this is how I actually started in 1991.
So 3 years, you say no business, but But what made you keep pursuing?
Wow, that is actually something the most memorable 3 years. I remember 19 company, as I said just now, represent Malaysia. I was the youngest, but we all got zero sales. Basically, nobody even know where is Malaysia is. Yeah. So we were actually giving a brochure by tourism board Malaysia. That was a long, like A4, half size of the A4 size. You know what's the picture in the brochure was? A tall tree with orangutan and house on the tree. And we just pass on to the old walk by customer. We just pass on. Everyone look at us very funny with a smile. After a while, we ask, why are you smiling? They look at the brochure, they look at us. They're not looking for our sample, our shoe at all.
Right.
But rather, they say, you guys play with monkey and live on the house. That's how we started 1991. Right. I mean, jokingly, I can say, but it was really 20 over hours to fly to Germany, Düsseldorf, a small town, now become a very famous fashion city in Düsseldorf, Germany. Right. But we were so heartbroken. What our branding? The day we don't even talk about branding. What is branding? No one knows about it. Second year, it was almost the same. They said, I heard you live on tree or you have cannibals in Borneo, things like that.
Okay.
Oh, sadly, we were actually not even selling any single pair of shoes for second year and even third year.
What happened the fourth year?
The fourth year, no one from 19 to become 11 and to 9 company on the third year. And the fourth year, Frida, do you know how many company went?
How many?
I was the only one.
Okay. So, what is the lesson there? Keep on going regardless.
Persevere. I think that is the words that you have to really think. But I see a lot of opportunity. Mm. Why those 19 company, including myself, went and doesn't come back? Mm. Because our economy has already went up. Okay. In 1993, our stock market was so robust. Everyone is making a lot of money from the share market.
I remember.
You remember, right? 1993. So I went on 91, 92, 93, and 94. I was the only company. Okay. I was sad, but I'm very happy. You know why? I bring through two countries. One is Lebanon. Second one is Japan. Can you imagine a small quantity, about less than 3,000 pairs? I was really, really happy and jumping. I come back with orders. Can you imagine?
Right. Okay. Now, over the years, is that aspect of business, the trading, is that you still OEM certain parts of your business? Or is there something you don't do
anymore? No, I evolved from trading to OEM, and I actually break through 40 over countries. The moment I break through in 1994, can you imagine? The sales just keep coming. 95, 96, I even met Jamie Choo in 1995 in Germany. This is how actually, you know, move on. 96, I have almost 40 countries around the world. I was so busy traveling 7-8 months around the world, only less than 6 months in Malaysia. Oh, this is how my life evolved. So from trading to OEM, then I evolved to become a designer myself, ODM. I remember when our then Meaty Minister, Dan Sri Rafida Asis, kept saying that value, up value, you know, things like that.
Right.
So you have to evolve yourself from not just trading, you have to start getting good technology base or know-how from your customers, and you design yourself. You actually move your value chain. Right.
Right. Okay, move up, add value to your products. Very interesting. And you know what? We haven't even come into this century yet. We'll talk about what happened, you know, I guess, moving forward and to what you are today. In just a moment, I'm here with Dato' Lure Liu. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Books, figurines, movies. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Dato' Luray Liu, founder of Luray. And of course, you would know of his shoes. He's been in this space, in this business for over 30 years, you know. And of course, we're talking about the challenges. You went from trading to OEM to ODM. Very good. I pass. I was paying attention to you, Dato'.
Thank you.
Okay. So then when you decided to go ODM, right, what was the climate like? And tell me, what was it like then? I guess into the new century.
Now, before the century, 2000 the millennium, 1997 come a very, very important year for me. When I met Jimmy Choo 1995, I said, Jimmy can, I can. Okay. The kind of spirit, because he invited me, you know, to his studio, his workshop and things like that. I came back, I told my whole team, I said, I must evolve myself from ODM to become OBM. I want to build my own brand. You know why? Because the shoe I design, even to the extent I designed for Spice Girl.
Right.
At the time, my shoe, but not my label. Of course, right, by one of the German company who supplied the tape, wedges, the platform shoe. I'm the one who designed, and it sold 10 times, 20 times of the price.
And you realize, my goodness, I'm missing out on an opportunity.
Yes, I say, my God, I have to take my own design. I evolved 1997 to become OBM from ODM.
Okay, so that was that transition. Now, what happened, I guess, and every time something like this happens also, we go through different kinds of crises as well, right? And I want to talk a little bit about how you have started this new galleria, right? And you decided to do this, thought about it again during the pandemic. Why, Dato? Why?
I think Chinese say you must give before you take. You know, this is third. When pandemic 2020 is really, really hard.
Yeah.
I closed two of my very important investment, inclusive of this garden standalone store. I have already served customer for over 14 years. So sadly, because of the tenancy agreement has really up. So I said, close it in 2021. So I've been serving customer right to the house, to the door, to the office. With 1 year with the pandemic. So I never give up. I think I can survive without all this kind of thing I say, but I never stop. But one thing that made me open my gallery now in Jalan Maru in Bangsa is that I have been developing something very, very new, I would say, since 2017. I believe we have to move on into a different kind of perspective, not just selling shoe, but you want to move on into tech fashion lifestyle instead of just fashion lifestyle. Because the life, especially on the pandemic, everything talking about digitalization, algorithm, the data, all this kind of thing. So 2017, I have the idea using the technology which is already available, for example, 3D printing, IoT, Internet of Things. I said, why don't I leverage what already tech have? Just like Steve Jobs leveraged all this kind of thing during his time and make iPhone so successful.
He changed the world.
Yeah, he changed the world, seriously. Yeah. So I said, can I do something and revolve revolutionize shoe making, number one, and also making well-being to the society. This is how I actually thought, and I start building the prototype. Something will happen when you go into it. I actually met one of the very renowned scientists in St. Petersburg, Russia. I went there, I built, and I have the prototype. And now I seriously have already successfully having the commercialized kind of a IoT project.
Okay. I know I visited your place. So what happens is this: when someone comes by, you use this technology, maybe explain the technology where you get our right feet, right size, right pressure. So then you will design your shoe around that. Maybe you can share a bit.
Okay, Frida, you have been to my gallery. This is a totally new experience store. Because in 2017, I started this project. I always wanted to have something really good for mankind. Because I remember the whole idea came by, when I say, when we drive car every few months you have to send your car for alignment and balancing. Otherwise, the car go one side or your tire will go.
Yes.
But what about human? Mm. What about shoe? Why don't have a machine that you can actually be able to measure your pressure point?
Yeah.
And you have the perfect standing or walking position.
Yeah.
So this is how Lure Eye is all about. The moment you stand on it, I'll be able to tell you the pressure map through the IoT. We will collect the data of yours, the standing position, and we'll be able to get the whole algorithm enabled for you to build and 3D print a perfect insole so that you can actually realign back your standing position or walking position.
Okay, now when you look at what you've done over the years as well, right, you know, how have, I guess this continues to make you relevant, that's one thing. I guess your customers that have been with you for the long time, but also having to get new customers, right, that is what you need to do.
The main thing, Frida, is talking about very smart manufacturing narrative. I wanted to use local content to be sustainable and social well-being. This is my target. I wanted my next collection of the Ray Bespoke will be towards this direction.
Wow.
But of course, without compromise the beauty, the fashion, high heel, people look at elegant and fashionable kind of direction.
So they want it to be environmentally friendly. They want everything, but also must be good looking. The shoes must look good. Okay, now some interesting highlights. Of course, you've designed for Kate Middleton, Her Royal Highness Kate Middleton. How did that come about? I know this was the Chorak.
Now, 2012 is actually marked a very, very important year for me. And I was actually commanded by British Chamber of Commerce Malaysia to design a few pair of shoes. In fact, I designed 6 pair of shoes for Kate Middleton during his visit to Malaysia.
Mm.
Originally, it was actually presented to her personally, but unfortunately, we are unable to see her personally. But in a way, I'm very fortunate that it became the national gifts.
Uh-huh.
4 gifts given by the Queen of Malaysia in the Istana of Malaysia.
Right. Okay. So and then, of course, another highlight was you were on the Malaysia Book of Records. This is your Lure Bespoke's 520 Diamond Collection. Okay. And which cost $1.2 million.
No, it's $5 million.
$5 million. Okay.
No. Sorry. $1.2 million, but it's actually 5 million ringgit. Sorry.
Okay. This was just a project that you did. Whose house is it in now?
In the year 2017, that was our 20th anniversary. So in memory to Princess Diana, when I launched Lure, it was a year of death.
Ah, yes.
1997. So 20 years later on, I launched a collection called I Love You Collection in memory of her, that you are gone, but you are still remembered.
Right.
We are still loved. So this is called I Love You Collection. So that I Love You Collection evolved to become the most expensive shoe, and working with one of our bright friend, Gillian.
Right. Okay.
Now it's she's the one who actually in the industry. Her father is actually the Book of Record from Malaysia. So she said, why not do something during my wedding? I said, I have the I Love You Collection. Let's do something. Do something really, really, you know, beautiful and memorable. Make history. I think this is something which I always wanted to make a mark whenever there's 20 years already, you know, right? The 10 years, the 20 and the 30 years or something like that. Make a history.
Right. And I have to ask you a lot of other things as well. Maybe more personal. Is your daughter's also involved in your business now?
Oh, yeah. My second daughter, Trisha, is actually,
okay.
She's the only one.
She's the only one. And of course, how many kids do you have?
I have three.
Okay.
One is in London, who is in the jewelry industry, jewelry design.
Right.
And another guy, the youngest.
Okay, so your daughter is involved in, she's also shoe designing or just helping to run the business?
Yes, she's also a shoe designer. She has been in fashion. She has been in design all this year, studied in Singapore, Lhasa, in fashion as well, and in design. She even launched her brand, Trisha Liu.
Ah.
And she's actually helping me on the ready-to-wear, where I concentrate on Bespoke.
Right. Okay, yeah. So she does that. It's very interesting how, you know, your daughter following in your footsteps, yeah. Pun intended. Now, how have you continued to be excited about the business over these years? You know, because people see the good side, right? But there's a lot of things behind the scenes as well. But I know I look at you and I say, why do you look different, Dato? You look more energetic now than when I met you, you know, over 10 years ago. What is your secret?
I must say, Qi Gong, wellness, you know, Qi Gong has actually helped me over the years, which I have been practicing since 2011, can you imagine? Mm. And it actually give you a lot of energy, a lot of youthfulness, and you actually reverse aging from to the point. I personally feel, and also a lot of my students having the same feeling as well.
Oh, wow.
So that is actually that's the secret about.
Oh, so that's you got students there as well. Now, I guess people who are listening to this interview, you've been in this space for over 30 years, in business for over 30 years, and people want to come into this industry. What would your advice be to people? I know one of the things you said was perseverance, you know, and of course you're always changing, you're always evolving. What else can you share?
I think life is always up and down. Mm. Just like I always quote the finger, our hand is always up and down. This actually God created us. It's this beautiful way, up and down. Mm. So we just have to accept whatever it comes, whether it's down, just have to enjoy. And even when it's up, don't be proud. Okay. Because you will go down or you will suffer somewhere without you knowing. So pandemic, I think, is actually, it's the worst time. I look at it, it could be the best time. Mm. See how you look at it. Right. So your mind has to be really, really positive. Mm. And over the years, I have seen up and down, 10 years. Every 10 years looks like, you know, it's a downturn. It's a big thing happen, whether it's good, whether bad. Mm. So I just have to leverage whatever it comes. Mm. Whether it's up, whether down, you have to be very enjoying every minute, the moment. Yeah, this is how I think,
life is about. Anything else you'd like to add? Maybe your future plans? Anything else you'd like to add?
Now, one thing I wanted to say, age is just a number. It's a serious if you really discipline in your health.
Right.
Your lifestyle. Mm. Not just saying, you know, it's just not just a sentence of a, But you have to prove, and you have to love yourself. You have to do something to love yourself, not just saying, I love myself. Mm. So I love myself by disciplinary lifestyle. Mm. I wake up 5 a.m. every morning for the last almost 12 years. Mm. Maybe 1 or 2 days in a year. Can you imagine? Right. I do it every day, even this morning.
Right.
And that really changed my energy, my positiveness, and my perseverance actually grow.
Right.
So I never feel I'm actually my age. Mm. I forget I'm my age. I'm 25. No kind of energy.
Right.
So this is how I think. And one last thing before I go, I think God is great. Mm. God always gives us another chance in our life.
Okay.
So look at your right. You have another life of your palm.
Yeah.
Let's join together to become 100 instead of 50, you're gone.
Right.
Or 60, you're half dead.
Right. Okay.
So make it that way.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure, Dato. Here's to many, many more successful years ahead. I've been speaking to Dato Lure Liu. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.